Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32. Can we mute the monitor speakers, please? Jeremiah 32, please. Jeremiah chapter 32. We had the monitor speakers so they could hear. We had them pretty loud. But those that know me, we don't need those loud or we'll have echo. Jeremiah 32. I want us to look at this thought of the God of the impossible. The God of the impossible. We're still getting a real big echo. I'm not sure what it's coming from. The God of the impossible. The book of Jeremiah was written against the backdrop of supreme evil. Are these muted? Because we're getting a lot of feed from this one. For some reason. The book of Jeremiah is written against the backdrop of supreme evil. The people of God have walked away from God. And they have embraced the God of the pagan. Nations around them. And throughout Jeremiah, we can see their character. We see what they are. We're going to read some of this in just a few moments. Because of the sin, God is bringing his judgment upon the people. And God uses Jeremiah to bring this judgment. Jeremiah would not have been a popular individual of that day. He was an individual that many would despise because of the message he was going to give. This message he gave for some 50 years, and in that 50 years were not even recorded of one convert or one person that really heeded to what he was saying. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets a little hard sometimes. It gets hard when you pour your heart out and you're teaching and you're telling individuals and people don't respond. Some of you have that with your own children. Some of you, you wish you could strangle your children. Not really, but you think that, right? Because you've taught them and you've told them and you warned them. Some of you warned your children about things you did in the past and you told them, please don't do that. Learn from my mistakes. Yet they don't listen and they continue to do those things in their lives. This is that same concept as where we find Jeremiah. And we even find Jeremiah in a prison and find what is happening and what is going on. And what he's facing as he's doing what God wants him to do. But we're going to see that he is the God of the impossible. The God of the impossible. Jeremiah chapter 32. Look with me in verse 16 through verse 27. And then we'll look at verse 3 of chapter 33. Jeremiah 16, reading through verse 27. Now when I deliver the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Nerah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompense iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thy eyes are open upon all the ways of the Son of Man to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto his day and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at his day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretch out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. And behold, the mountains that are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword of the famine and of the pestilence, and what thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witness, for the city is given into the land into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all. Is there anything too hard for me? Then drop down to chapter 33, look at verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for this time that we can come, we can look at your word, and Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts as we look at the God of the impossible. Lord, help us to see some of these truths from the life of Jeremiah as we look at his confidence, his crisis, and Lord, as we see you just do great things, Lord, help us to reflect upon your word. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I want you to first see Jeremiah's confidence. Jeremiah's confidence, we just read these verses, but look again with me in verse 17. I want you to see where his confidence lied. His confidence lied in God's creation. In this great prayer of Jeremiah, he presents the evidence that he's collected through his life where he finds his confidence, his hope in. As you and I go through our lives, and as we've seen God work in the past, we know that God will work in the future for those that will fall after him. The God that was the God of the impossible in the past is still the God of the impossible in the future and in the present. Look again at verse number 17 of Jeremiah 32. Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. He first turns to God's creation, where Jeremiah considers the hand of God. He considers what God has done. We need not to forget, as he's looking at God's creation, what God created, what God did, we need not to forget as we think about the God of the impossible, the God you and I serve, the God that saved us this morning, is the God who created this world. He says, hey, there's nothing too hard for my God. He says, look at, God did this with his own hands. He created this. Lord, you made the heaven, you made the earth by thy great power and stretch out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. As we go through our lives, we are not in the exact situation that Jeremiah was in, but we're pretty close in our day and age. Evil is running rampant. Things are happening that people do not understand or know why. Individuals in our day and age are going their own direction, going their own way. Many individuals are finding different avenues and different ways of handling situations that they're going through in their lives. We're seeing this even what has taken place in the last couple months of what has happened in our world. And those things are taking place and happening. Now, what is happening in this chapter and in the life of Israel is that these individuals decided to go their own way, live their own things. And Jeremiah is praying. As he's praying, he's finding his confidence. As he's finding his confidence, he's got this crisis, what's happening. But he's warning the people what they're doing is wrong. Now, I want to be kind this morning. But I believe there's times that we need a warning. There are times that we need correction in our lives. And I believe on a whole, Christianity on a whole this morning needs a wake-up call. I believe we are in a state that we need to stop, and we get so upset with everything happening, and I understand we don't like everything happening, but we need a wake-up call because the same God that created this world is the same God that can help you and me be what we ought to be even during this time of our lives. He is the God of the impossible. There are many believers, and I'm not saying, and I want to be careful how I say this, especially being online, I want to be careful what I'm going to say, but I understand we need to have concerns, and I understand we need to take precautions, I understand we need to do those things, but let me tell you, people are using that as an excuse to turn against God and go away from God. Individuals have not read their Bible, have not been in prayer, have not been in around the Word of God, have not heard preaching. Oh, they use the excuse this and that. I don't want to get sick and I don't want anyone to get sick. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this. We have avenues today to still hear the Word of God. And yet many individuals, many believers today have turned away from God. We need a warning. We need a wake-up call. He's the God of the impossible. Jeremiah, as he's praying, he said, God, you created this world. There's nothing too hard for thee. I want to tell you this morning, I do not believe this virus, this situation we're facing, caught God by surprise. I believe God already knew this was going to happen. I believe God knew exactly what's going to take place. And as I've said before, I believe God allows circumstances in our lives to get us to stop, to look, to listen, to examine, and turn back to Him. I believe we as Americans, we as believers, needed this virus to get our attention to come back to God. I believe through this, as I've said before, many things positive have happened already. But I believe many more positive things can take place as a result of this. I believe many believers have gotten so soft in their Christianity and have become so superficial and wishy-washy in the Christianity, this is what we needed to get us to wake up. The sad thing is some aren't going to take the wake-up call. Some aren't going to look at it. Some are going to say, well, we're just going to use this as an excuse. Jeremiah, he's praying. He's praying. He wants the people to come back. And yes, we understand 50 years they didn't come back. We understand all that took place. But he says, God, you can do it. There's nothing too hard for thee. Let us not forget, there's nothing too hard for our God. Man can't understand what's happening. Man has their ideas and tries to figure it out. But God already knows what's happening. God sees the full picture. Let's look a little further here as he prays. And as he's seeking God, we see he talks about God's creation. He's confident because the one that created this world is one that can help him in his need. And the one that created this world is the one that can help you and me this morning in our needs. No matter what our need is, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're struggling, God can help us. Look at verse 18. He also reflects upon God's character. You know, as we are thinking about the God and the possible, we need to realize God can do it, and our confidence needs to be in Him because of His creation. But our confidence needs to be in Him because of who He is. And I believe many times, you and I, even though we're reminded of, but we're all guilty, myself included, we forget about who God truly is and the character of God. In this prayer, in these verses, Jeremiah is reminding himself of the character of God. Look at verse 17. Oh Lord, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arms. There is nothing too hard for thee. Verse 18. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of the children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. Now we'll get into other verses in a minute. Did you see there? That's loaded. Verse 18 is loaded. I want you to look at this. He's reflecting upon the loving kindness. We talked about this last week. The loving kindness of God and the love that is shown. But he goes a little step further in the loving kindness. And he says, and the recompense of the iniquity of the father into the bosom of the children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. He reminded himself who God is. He said He's the great God. We need to be reminded this morning, the God of the impossible, the God that created this world, the God that saved you, is the great God. There is none like Him, and there will never, ever be any like Him. God was and is. He's from the beginning. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is eternal. He is the great God. There is no sin in Him. He has all the power. He has all the knowledge. He is the great God. I want us to understand this morning, in regards to the greatness of our God, how great God truly is. Oh, we'll sing songs about how great thou art. But do we truly understand how great our God is? There is none that can ever compare to him. We try to, though. You mean, what do you mean, preacher? You see, we say God's the God of the impossible. We say God can take care of the situation. Our confidence in him, he's a great God. But you know what we do? We compare God to what this world offers. And we limit God. And by us limiting God, we're saying God is not great. Well, let me tell you this morning, we serve the great God. There is no one ever that will be like him. But look a little further there about his name. The great and the, what does it say? The mighty God. I tell you, my mind, those that know, thinks weird, okay? But I start to chuckle about the mighty God. I picture some of those old cartoons when you have this little character that's about this big. Then you have the other character about 100 feet tall. And that little character thinks they have all the answers worked out and they can do it. But then they see the mighty character and they realize they can't do it. This is a picture we need to see. Many times we think we have everything worked out. We think we can do everything. And compared to God, what are we? We are small. We are nothing. I like that idea. I love that God sees me small. I think that's nice. Some of you got that. And God sees us small. He sees us this. And compared to God, we are small. My knowledge is nothing like God's. My power, my strength is nothing. Even the strongest person alive does not compare to the greatness and mighty power of God. That word mighty carries idea of powerful. The mighty God, the powerful God. The God that was able to speak this world into existence. The God that was able to do great and mighty things. The God that has all power is this God. Look a little further here. The Lord of hosts is his name. You know what Jeremiah did as he was looking and he was in a bad situation in his life. He was in a hard time of his life. He realized there's nothing too hard for his God. He realized the creation that God did. He realized who God, his God was, his greatness, his power, and all those things about his God. But I want you to look a little further here as we look at this. Look at verse 19. Great in counsel and mighty in work. You know what he realized about God's character? God was all he needed. God was his great counsel. He is the one he could turn to. He is saying this, God, I see your creation, I see your power, I see your name, I see your Lord of hosts, I see all these great things about you, Lord, but you're great in counsel. Lord, you're all that I need. And in this impossible situation in his life, the time that he was struggling in his life, he realized God was what and who he needed to turn to. Let us be reminded this morning, we have our confidence to realize the one we need to seek counsel is God himself. I believe many individuals during this time have sought counsel from other sources instead of seeking counsel from God. Now again, I want to be careful what I say and how I say it because I want to come across in love. But I believe many individuals, instead of seeking God during this time and what God wanted them to do and how God wanted them to act and what God wanted in their lives, they have listened to other means. And they have gotten involved in things they should not have gotten involved in. Because my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ matters more than what I supposedly lost in freedoms and other things. I have to be careful that my testimony for my Lord and my Savior comes far above what I think or what I feel or what I want to do or what I want to accomplish. I must understand this and understand that my God is the one who I needed to seek. And let me tell you, if I seek God's counsel in handling the situations that I'm facing in my life, I'm going to act godly. I'm not going to act ungodly. I'm going to act in a way that represents Him and points people to Jesus. I'm not going to act in a way that points people away from Jesus. His great counsel. It says, great in counsel and mighty in work. That mighty in work carries the idea that He can take whatever the situation is and turn it out. Now, some of you, you're good at doing certain things. Some of you are mighty in work in the sense that you have what is called a green thumb. Some of you, you put plants in your house, you kill them. Even the fake ones. Some of you, you have the green thumb. We have two people, especially in our church, that have the greenest thumb I've ever met in my life. They plant, they call it a garden. But their garden is bigger than most people's houses. And then they run out of room and they come to the church and they plant in the back there so they can plant more. But I've never seen items get as big as they get. They plant cabbages. And most of the time we see cabbages about this big. Last year, it was, in my line, it was something like this size, wasn't it, Rich? He came into my office with a cabbage that was bigger than my head. And it was huge. And then we planted tomatoes for years and we struggled with tomatoes. We had more tomatoes to feed the whole city of Napa from like three plants than we ever had from 20 plants. And they have that green thumb. They're able to do it. That's what it means, the mighty worker, able to take and produce something. And this is the idea. God is able to take what we see as not good and make something good out of it. Now, I don't understand how this all works, but to me, a couple seeds, how could a couple seeds produce something as good as fresh tomatoes? That's one of my favorite. I love during the summer, and I love that He puts the tomatoes back there. And you guys think there's a lot, but I probably eat half of it before you get to see them. And I like to take them, and I do wash them once in a while, and then I cut them. I have a knife in my drawer just for this, and I have a salt shaker in my office. I cut them, and I just like to put the salt and eat. Oh, it is so good. But how can that come from just two seeds, a couple seeds? How can that come from that? This is the picture I want us to see this morning. God can take something so small, and He can turn it out to be something so great. God can take whatever situation you're in, whatever you're facing. And Jeremiah, he found his confidence and he found this. He says, God, You are the mighty worker. You can take the situation that I'm facing and turn it out to be good. As you reflect upon God's character. For thy eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men to give everyone according to his way and according to the fruit of his doing, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even to this day, and in Israel among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day. We see God's character and the name that God had. Look at verse 1, verse 21 and verse 22. And has brought forth thy people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders. And with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them the land which thou didst swear to the fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. You know what else we realize? In God's character, God's deliverance. What did He say? His confidence. Where was His confidence? His confidence was God's creation. His confidence was God's character. His confidence was God's salvation, or God's conversion, if you want another C there. And we see that God delivered Egypt. That's what He reflected upon. hey, God, you took Israel out of bondage. You took Israel from the hand of Egyptians. You took Israel out of there. And as he's reflecting upon this, we must reflect upon what God has done in your life and my life. Let us be confident because God, if you're saved this morning, God has saved you by his precious blood. And God has taken you from the bondage of sin and set you free. He took you out of the miry pit and set your feet upon the rock. He has saved your soul. You see, he realized this, even though he was going through an impossible situation, that God is the God of the impossible. And he looked upon the character of God. He looked upon the greatness of God. He looked upon the deliverance of God. And he said, God, you have done this. So we're going through our situations in our lives. Let us be reminded what God has done for us. We can spend a whole lot of time in those verses, but this is just the first point. So let's go to verse 2. The second point here. We saw his confidence, but now let's look at his crisis. Verse 23 through verse 25. And they came in and possessed it. But they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all the evil to come upon them. Behold, the mounts that are come unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it. Because of the sword and the famine and the pestilence and what thou has spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witness, for the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans. What did he face? What was the problem he faced? He faced the people weren't living right. He faced the people weren't doing right. Because of that, they faced judgment. Because of that, they lost things. Because of that, they were going through struggles in their lives. But look at verse number 25. I want you to see, this is interesting. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witness, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. He was given a plan to follow. All right? This is all happening. They lost this. They're struggling. People aren't living right. People aren't doing right. And then God gives them a plan to go buy land. Now, I don't know about you. That doesn't make sense to me. Can I just be honest for a minute? Does that make a lot of sense? Why would you buy land that you're probably never going to be able to use? Why would you buy land during this time? Why would you do this? It does not make sense. You see, we understand his confidence was God. He was following God, and he's praying to God. But God says, okay. And as he's praying all these things, and now he says, Lord God, you want me to go do this. Why would God want him to do this? Have you ever had something in your life that you know God is encouraging you to do, and you sit back and go, why, Lord, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense to me at all. Why should I go ahead and do this? Why should I do these things? Do you know it's not us to understand the will of God, but it is for us to do the will of God. Jeremiah, as he's going through this plan, he tells him, okay, I think there's some fear given here. I think he's questioning what is happening. But what does God want him to do? God wants him to do this. Now, those that have no scripture a little bit, know what takes place. There's a whole purpose for this. But at this point, he doesn't know this. He doesn't see this. That is so much like the will of God in our lives. A lot of times, we will do the will of God, what? If it's all laid out for us. If it's all shown to us. If we know exactly what's going to happen. Some of you, it's been clearer at times for God's will for your life than other times of your life. Sometimes it's like, oh wow, the writing's on the wall. Other times, most of us understand, it's like, okay, what are we supposed to do? And then we see God's will, and then we're supposed to follow it. We might not always understand it, but we're to do it. We're to do the way God leads. I tell you, there's always things in our lives that we're not always sure about, and we get in prayer, we get in God's word, and God will continue to lead, God will continue to direct, God will continue to show us his will. I remember when we first were going to move out here over 17 years ago now, I remember Tanya and I talking, and Tanya, I'll be honest, was not thrilled to move to Idaho, okay? She was not thrilled. The furthest she'd ever been from her family was 20 minutes from her family. And to move across the world, at least that's what it seemed to her, and to move. And I tell you, it really got nerve-wracking when one of the first people we met was Sherry. And then we said, what are we doing here? No, just kidding. But I'm sorry, I had to throw that in. But following God's will, it was Dick. But following God's will and coming, you know what? You don't know all the details. You don't know how it's all going to work. You don't know how it's all going to happen. But you need to follow it and do it. And you might not know how it's all going to happen and how everything's going to come into fruition and how it's all going to happen and take place. But you follow God's will. And you do God's will. Jeremiah, I guarantee, didn't understand this. But he was going to do what God wanted to do. But I want you to see his comfort. Where his comfort comes. Could you imagine he's in prison? Could you imagine all this? He could imagine he's praying. He has his confidence in God. There's this crisis going on. The people aren't responding. All this is happening. They're losing everything. Then he's told to buy land. He's supposed to do this, but God gives him reassurance. And aren't you glad when you and I are going through the struggles of our lives, God gives us reassurance? I tell you, we need to turn. We need to wake up. We need to do those things. We need to stand for what is right. We need to live a life that's pleasing God. We need to be that testimony. We need to do all those things. But sometimes it gets hard. I tell you, during this time, we understand what God's will is for our lives. It's to keep being that shining light. It's to keep focused and to stay true to him. I understand things are different than what we are used to. Let me tell you, it's far different for me. I am getting used to it to a point, but this is not my cup of tea, all right? I'll be honest. But I do know, even though this is not exactly what I want during this time, God has a purpose and a will during this time. And I need to be that shining light and that testimony during this time. And I need to make sure that I'm living for God during this time and following God's will. But as I'm doing this, let me tell you, there's sometimes you get some negative, people that are negative about what you're doing. Have you ever noticed when you're going through a struggle, everyone else is an expert? Everyone else knows how to take care of your situation. But it's interesting, as if you look at their lives, they're going through the same issue and they don't know how to handle it either. But they know how to handle your life. And you start going through, and I tell you, there's some great people and great wisdom out there and great things, but we need to seek God's counsel. And there's all this that is taking place, but we need God's will. And sometimes it gets discouraging. Have you ever gotten discouraged trying to do the will of God? And things are happening? You ever tried to do right and lead right and take people the right direction? And you continue to try to do those things and it starts to get hard? It starts to get hard in your life? And then someone comes about and says, hey, you're not doing it right, or you should do this, or you should do that. And there's a lot of the negative that starts to set in. Well, you know what we need? We need reassurance from the Word of God. Because the devil's going to attack, others are going to attack, but we still got to keep doing God's will. Jeremiah could have even questioned himself. He had other things that gone through. He could have said, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to do God's will. I'm not going to do these things. And all this could have happened. All this could have taken place. and this could have happened. But he got reassurance from God. Look at verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, did you see this? He questions, he's asking this by thee, I'm supposed to do this. Then he says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah. I want you to know, when you and I need encouragement, and we need reassurance to keep on keeping on, and we need that reassurance to keep living that Christian life and being sold out for God and following after God and doing what God wants, then cometh the word of God. Then we get the word of God. God speaks to us, and we're in his word, and we're around his word. We're hearing the word of God, and God comes to us and says, no, I want you to keep on keeping on. Look at verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? What does God say? Don't you worry about it, Jeremiah. I have it under control. Don't you worry how this is going to work out. Don't you be concerned. Don't you fret over it. I am the Lord thy God, and there's nothing I cannot do that's within my will. And if you follow my will, Jeremiah, you'll be able to do what I want you to do. That's what God tells us. There is nothing too hard for God to accomplish. Now, some people have taken that, well, there's nothing too hard to God, and they come up with all these foolish questions. And God warns us about foolish questions. What it's saying, there's nothing too hard for God to do with that's within his will. And what he wanted done, Jeremiah to do, he said, Jeremiah, you be reassured. I am the Lord thy God, and I can make it happen. Let us be reassured this morning. No matter what we're facing today, and in 3 years, 5 years, there'll probably be something else we're facing, unless the Lord comes back and we're in glory. It could be another 5, 10 years we face something else. Another 15, 20, some of you will still be here. 20 to 30 years could be something else we faced. If you look back throughout the history, every several years there's some type of thing that has taken place and that's happened. And I don't believe it's by accident. I believe a lot of those things have happened to try to get a hold of people. And all those have happened throughout the years. And as you and I are going through this, or we're going through something else in the future, let us be reminded there is nothing too hard for God. And God is the God of the impossible. And God, we need to do God's will. No matter how dark the day gets, still do God's will. No matter how dark it gets, Jesus is still on the throne. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how hard things seem to be, still keep doing the will of God, and he will give you the strength to do his will. I tell you, we make excuses today. Well, I can't be faithful to church, or I can't be faithful to the word of God because I have this and I have that and all these other things. Let me tell you, God's will is that we're together. And I understand we have to do that a little different today. And someday, hopefully, we'll be back to where we can do it the way we want to do it. But let me tell you, any way we can do it, we need to get together. We need to be together. We need to be united together. We need to be around the preaching the word of God, because that's God's will. God's will. And he says, I want you to do my will. Let me tell you, God's will for your life and my life during this time is to be a sold out testimony for him. That's God's will. And God will give you the strength. He'll give you the encouragement. Be reassured that he is God, and there's nothing too hard for him. Look a little further here. Look at verse 28. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I would give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire in the city and burn it with the houses upon whose roof they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offering unto other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have provoked me to anger with the work of the hands, saith the Lord. Drop down to verse 33. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I have taught them rising up early and teaching them. Yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abomination in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not. Neither came it unto my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now go to chapter 33 and look at verse 3. Call on me, and I answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He had comfort in God, even though it looked bleak. He had comfort. He says, call on me, and I'll show you great and mighty things. This is all happening. There's this paganism, all this turning the back on God. But don't you worry, Jeremiah. You call on to me, and I'll show you great and mighty things. Church, believer, don't you be worried. Call unto God, and he'll show you great and mighty things. Don't you worry about what's going to happen in this world. Call unto God, and he'll show you great and mighty things. Don't you worry about your 401k. God is in control. Don't you fret. Don't you worry about your houses and your homes and your automobiles. Let me tell you, God is in control. Call to him. Don't you be concerned about what is taking place. Call unto God, and he'll show you great and mighty things. Be doing the will of God, and be reassured that God will be there with you and help you and give you all that you need to do his will. You see, the God of the impossible. Jeremiah realized the confidence. He had the crisis, but he had the comfort. Let us remember where our confidence lies. Not in ourselves, relies in him. We all have crises we're facing. Don't let those crises kill you. Let those crises get you to examine and to move forward. God has a plan, and God has a will for your life and my life, no matter what is happening in our day and age. That will never changes. I want to say this. God's will for the believer never changes. Time changes. Culture changes. Technology changes. But God never changes. And God's will for the believer's life has never changed. Has not changed from the beginning of time, and it will not change. God's will for the believer has been the same. It has not changed. Oh, preacher, we're in a different culture. So what? God's will doesn't change. You don't understand. We have this happening and that happening. God's will doesn't change. Well, we have this load upon us. We have this upon us. We have that upon us. I'm sorry. I know it's hard. But let me tell you, God's will has not changed. And what has happened in our culture today, in our world today, believers have used things as an excuse to not do the will of God. And we got to get back to where we, as blood-bought children of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is doing his will no matter what's happening in our day and age. We need to do the will of God. It's going to get hard. But that's why he found his comfort or his reassurance. And his reassurance comes from God. If we get in this book, you will get all the reassurance you and I need. When Moses was questioning about doing God's will, what did God tell him? God gave reassurance. He had all those excuses, remember? And every excuse he gave, God gave him an answer back. He reassured him. There's others throughout the Word of God that started to question, started to have some doubt. What did God do? God gave them reassurance from his word. And he said, hey, this is what you need to do. I'm with you. I am that I am. I'm the great God. I'm the one that did this. And he keeps giving them the reassurance they need. Don't get discouraged during this time. Look at it as an opportunity to be the shining light for God. Because God is a God of the impossible. And God can take two little seeds and make some wonderful tomatoes. God can take you. God can take me. And we can do the will of God, even in this time. Be very confident. Be reassured. The crisis is there. The struggle's there. But God is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this portion of Scripture. And Lord, we just scratch the surface. There's so much more there. But Lord, we thank you for the truths that you just gleaned to us. Lord, help us to take these. Help us to apply them to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, help us be transformed because of it. Lord, we do pray if there's one that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. We pray for each believer. Lord, help us to reflect upon how great you are and your name and your creation and all those things. Lord, help us not to get down in the crisis we're facing. Lord, help us to realize you have a plan. And Lord, help us to continue to follow your will. And Lord, thank you for the reassurance that you give us throughout Scripture. And let us be reassured if we're doing your will. You'll give us everything we need to accomplish the will you have set before us. Lord, help us please you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. As you stand with me.